They thought I couldn't hear their whispers, their snickers. I had heard them for 10 years. I cut across Conti toward Charters, clutching my book under my arm. The vibration of my humming blocked out the sound. Courtesan, harlot, hooker, whore. I'd heard them all. In fact, I could look at someone and predict which one they'd use. "Hello, Josie," they'd say with a half smile, followed by a sigh and sometimes a shake of the head. They acted like they felt sorry for me, but as soon as they were 10 steps away, I'd hear one of the words along with my mother's name. The wealthy women pretended it singed their tongue to say whore. They'd whisper it and raise their eyebrows. Then they'd fake an expression of shock, like the word itself had crawled into their pants with a case of the clap. They didn't need to feel sorry for me. I was nothing like Mother. After all, Mother was only half of the equation.
"Josie! Wait up, Yankee girl!"
Frankie, one of Willie's information men, was at my side, his tall, slinky frame bending over mine.
"What's the rush?"
he asked, licking his fingers and smoothing his greased hair. "I have to get to the bookshop," I said. "I'm late for work."
"Sheesh, what would old man Marlowe do without you? You spooning him applesauce these days? I hear he's just about dead."
"He's very much alive, Frankie. He's just retired." I shot him a look.
"Ooh, defensive. You got something going with Marlowe?"
"Frankie!" What a horrible thought. Charlie Marlowe was not only ancient, he was like family.
"Or maybe you got a ting for his son, is that it? You got eyes on Lupin with Junior so you can inherit that dusty book nook you love so well?"
He elbowed me, laughing. I stopped walking. "Can I help you with something, Frankie?" He pulled me onward, his voice low. "Actually, yeah. Can you tell Willie that word on my side is that Cincinnati's coming down?" A chill ran beneath the surface of my skin. I tried to keep my step steady. "Cincinnati? Can you let her know, Josie?" "I won't see Willie till morning, you know that," I said.
"You still not going near the place after dark? Such a smart one you are. Well, give a word, Cincinnati's around. She'll want to know."
"I hope I don't forget," I said, opening my palm.
"Ooh, beggar woman."
"Business woman," I corrected him. "Remember, Willie doesn't like surprises."
"No, she don't," he said, digging in his pocket. "What do you do with all this bank, Josie? Be a lot easier if you just lifted your skirt."
"The only reason I'd lift my skirt is to pull out my pistol and plug you in the head." My money was none of Frankie's business. I was getting out of New Orleans. My plan included bus fare and cash reserves to cover a full year of living expenses, enough time to get me on my feet. A business book I read in the shop said that it was always best to have at least 12 months' savings. Once I had the money, I'd decide where to go.
All right, he said. "You know I'm only joking."
"Why don't you just buy a book from me at the shop, Frankie?"
"You know I don't like to read, Yankee girl. Don't think anyone likes to read as much as you do. What you got under your arm this time?"
"E.M. Forster."
"Never heard of it."
He grabbed my hand and dropped some coins in my palm.
"There. Now don't forget to tell her. I won't get paid if you forget."
"You know when he'll hit town or where he's holing up?" I asked.
"Nah, not yet. For all I know, he's already here."
Frankie twitched and looked over his shoulder.
"See ya, kid."
I grabbed my skirt and quickened my pace toward the bookshop. It had been 2 years since the incident. Cincinnati hadn't been back in the quarter and no one missed him. He claimed he worked on the fringes for Carlos Marcello, the godfather of the New Orleans Mafia. No one believed him, but no one outright challenged him on it either. Cincinnati proudly wore expensive suits that didn't quite fit him.
It was rumored that his clothes were stolen from corpses, people he had killed for Carlos Marcelo. Cokie said it was bad mojo to wear a dead man's suit.